Is Andrew Kados on now? He is. All right. Well, we'll go over to him now. Andrew, a very good morning to you. Thanks for being on the show.
Good morning, Mitchell. How are you today?
Yeah, really good. Well, there's a fair bit happening today in state politics. But first of all, tell us about, I suppose, the speed limits. This is an announcement that's happened on Friday with Matthew Guy coming down. But the police are now saying in the paper, well, we weren't consulted. We've been blindsided.
Well, look, as far as that goes, last year when I first raised this, my office made an attempt to contact the police, but we didn't get a response. We tried to set up a meeting, to organise a meeting with this, regarding this issue, and there was no response from the police. So whether something's wires have been crossed at their end, I'm not having a go at them in any way, but that's sort of what happened last year, and in fact this time last year. And as far as Vic Roads goes, Vic Roads is now just an authority of the Andrews government, and they refuse to speak to any opposition members. The Barwon South West region here, the director of the region, refuses to return my calls, won't even respond to an email.
Wow, okay. That's not good for a government body. They say that they've put out...
It's supposed to be apolitical.
Well, they've put out crash modelling, they say, in today's paper that says that accidents would go up by 30% if we increase the speed limit to 110. Do you believe that?
Well, look, I believe that I drive that road on a regular basis, and the section that we are putting up to 110 kilometres an hour is one of the safest, straightest stretches of road in Australia. It's got a 5-star safety rating. Virtually from Duncan's Road to Corio there to the trotting track approximately, there's hardly a bend in the road or even an undulation in the road. It is an extremely safe stretch of road.
And I see that Ian Trezise back in the mid-2000s, first of all, talked about putting it up to 110. So obviously the community has been asking for this pretty much for a long time now.
Yeah, motorists are strongly supporting this initiative, and I had that feeling from quite a while back, but I thought I'd go out and test that locally as well and put out surveys asking people's views on increasing the speed limit to 110, and the response was around 78% supported increasing the speed limit.
Now, tell us about the other road issue, which is the Barwon Heads Road. Apparently, there's a bit of disagreement now. I think both sides agree that we have to have some sort of duplication with all of that growing area down there in the new estates. But there seems to be some debate about whether land has to be compulsorily acquired or not.
Well, what this is all about, it's about the intersections on at the Warrilili Shopping Village and also on Warrilili Boulevard. The developer contacted me. They've spent $6 million installing two signalised intersections which have the capability to simply be expanded when the road is duplicated. But Vic Roads, from their desktops in Kew, are wanting to rip up those $6 million worth of lights as part of a duplication and put in two roundabouts for a cost of $5 million. Now, but as you said, both sides of politics at the moment are supportive, well, I'm certainly supportive of it, I assume the government is, of duplicating the Barwon Heads Road. But this is just complete insanity from Vic Roads to want to rip out $6 million worth of lights and install $5 million worth of roundabouts. It just makes no sense. And as part of that, the roundabout at Warrilili Village Shopping Centre the land needed to acquire to build it actually cuts through the corner of the existing building, which is more insanity from Vic Roads.
So how do we resolve it? Because obviously the residents down there are sitting in the middle and driving on this road every single day, getting frustrated by the fact that it's not already duplicated, and we're still disagreeing on what it's going to look like.
Well, it's not so much the... Look, as I said, both I'm certainly supportive of... duplicating the road, and I'm working hard to get a commitment from the Liberal Party to do that. But this sort of behaviour from Vic Roads just makes no sense. Why would you rip up existing traffic lights, which work well, to install roundabouts? This is just sort of Vic Roads boffins, quite frankly, away with the fairies.
Well, the other thing that's been of interest lately has been this bike lanes campaign down around Belmont. According to the mayor, there's been some more consultation now with the traders. Where are we up to with that?
Well, the problem is that the consultation should have been going on before these announcements are made. Now, in fairness to the mayor, this was something, a decision that was made by the administrators. But, you know, it's been virtually bankrolled by the TAC and the state government, and they want to remove bike lanes in High Street, which would absolutely destroy the small businesses there who rely on that parking of people coming in and out of their shops. We've got, for example, the bakeries, there's clothing stores, there's a lot of takeaway stores, for example, dry cleaners, where people are coming in and out, dropping off things and shopping very quickly. And these bike lanes would do untold damage to those shops in High Street.
Yeah, so the alternative is what?
Well, that's and in saying, I was about to say, Mitchell, in saying that, I'm not opposed to cycling and putting bike lanes in, but let's find an alternate route. For example, Francis Street could be used in Belmont. It's a very quiet suburban street. You could put the bike lanes down and then bring them back up at Roslyn Road. Francis Street runs into Roslyn Road, then you could just ride up Roslyn Road and you're at the Belmont Post Office.
Just in general, the roads have become a bit of a mess with bike lanes and trying to get everyone to get along, because with some roads you can't turn left and cross the bike lane, whereas with others you kind of do have to cross the bike lane, and it's really hard to get everyone on the same page, motorists and cyclists, and I'm not sure how we can sort of resolve it to have one consistent approach.
Yeah, well, it's the reality is that over the years Geelong very much has been a car town, which hasn't catered for these bikes, and as I said earlier, I'm not opposed to doing these bike lanes, but you've got to consult with all the users and get an outcome that's all the users and stakeholders, such as the businesses, so you can get an outcome that's that provides that connectivity for cyclists, but also is respectful of the business owners there, who, you know, they're small business people who've got their homes mortgaged and earning a living, so they've got a lot at stake.
And of course, it's all well and good to say, well, we should be less car dependent, but what are the alternatives? Cycling or a bus?
Well, of course, in Geelong you've got cycling, you've got buses, but I think one thing we greatly underutilise is also our rail network. We have a rail network that runs down our north-south spine of the city, and we should be using that more for travel internally inside Geelong as well.
Now, what do you think is happening with these road and rail projects? It says today in the paper that only 3 of 50 Victorian road and rail projects have actually been rolled out, and these have already been funded by the federal government, from what I understand. So the money's sitting there, but it hasn't actually happened.
Well, I think this is just the Andrews government playing games. Twofold, they're trying to make the federal government look bad, you know, saying they haven't funded infrastructure projects and we're not getting our share, but they're funding projects and the state government is stalling their delivery, and I think quite deliberately stalling that delivery in the lead up to the state election, so they can make all these announcements as if it's new money and it's all new projects that they're doing, which are actually projects that have been funded and have been sitting there for quite a while.
In terms of funding, hospital funding is an interesting debate, because on the front cover today it looks like there might be a bit of a bit of disunity, a war, I don't know what you would call it, brewing between the federal and state governments. Lisa Neville has come out and said that funding needs to go up by more than what it is, whereas apparently the federal government is capping it. Does the state opposition have a view on hospital funding for Geelong?
Well, I see a hospital here in Geelong, University Hospital. I think we should be focused on our population growth here in Geelong and actually improving the hospital. You know, this is just another fight that the Andrews government's looking to pick with Malcolm Turnbull and the feds. They're very good at picking fights, but how about instead of picking fights, actually sit there and come up with solutions and negotiate with the federal government and get an outcome that's good for everyone.
And something else I saw that was quite interesting was your opponent, Darren Cheeseman, was out on the weekend campaigning in Ripon, of all electorates, which is a very marginal seat. But does that make you worried that he's pretty confident about winning South Bowen, that he's not campaigning there, he's campaigning and helping other MPs?
Well, actually, more the other way, I find it quite extraordinary. I did see that on Facebook. Actually, that was pointed out to me. You know, Darren Cheeseman's a man who's purporting to say he wants to represent the people of South Bowen in the state parliament, yet he's out door-knocking in Ballarat and Wenderee, which I think that actually shows contempt for the people of South Bowen.
Well, very, very interesting times indeed. Andrew, thank you very much for being on the program. It's always good to catch up, and we'll speak again next month.
No worries, Mitchell. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Andrew Kados there. In a state election year, there's always plenty going on, and good to speak to him. And yes, we invite any elected representative to come on the program as often as they like.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.